Hello, and welcome to The Writing Forge, where we discuss tips and tricks for honing your writing. I'm Bonnie.
I'm Miranda.
And we're your hosts.
Let's get into it.
Hey guys, today we're going to talk about beta readers.
And alpha readers.
Yeah.
I guess maybe just critique readers.
Yeah. And we're going to kind of go over the difference a little bit, and at least in our minds, how it goes. And I think it's fairly standard, the things that we think. But so, Miranda, how would you describe the difference? Like, what is a beta reader versus some of these other kinds of readers?
So kind of in the writing process, how it typically goes is the author writes a thing and then they go, now what? They definitely need to get some eyes on it. But typically you want to get eyes on it before you actually hire an editor, which you do not have to. You are more than welcome to hire an editor straight out the gate. But typically you want to give as clean of a draft to an editor as possible, because then you're getting more bang for your buck.
Yeah, especially if you're paying for one, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The cleaner your manuscript is, the more you've worked on it, the more other people have given you feedback on it,
the better feedback you're going to get from a professional, typically.
And the cheaper it will be.
Yes, definitely. They don't have to spend 30 hours editing your manuscript, and they only have to spend 5. Like, that cuts down on the hourly rate quite a bit. So typically you go through critique readers. And generally, especially according to the internet, because we all know the internet's always right, there tends to be a couple of different levels. So at the first level are alpha readers. Alpha readers typically are reading the manuscript as you write it. And so they're your writing groups. They're your partner if you give them your work. They're, you know, brother, sister. They're your cheerleaders, typically. They're cheering you on. They're helping you out. And they're catching very big macro level stuff most of the time. Like, oh, hey, you made this promise at the beginning, and what happened to it? Frodo had a ring.
Now he has a sword. No.
What are we doing with that ring?
Right.
Things of that nature, or like with characters, like, oh no, I haven't seen Ben in a while. Where's Ben? And to help you kind of catch those sort of mistakes. But typically,
well, and they can help you work through things too. Like, a writing group is great for, you're like, okay, I've got my character here. I have no idea how to get them out of this situation. And then you can talk through things with your writing group, right? The writing groups are great for brainstorming.
Oh. Definitely. So, and brainstorming, stuff like that. So that is typically your alpha readers. They essentially see it as it's being created. Or if you're the kind of person who can absolutely not have any feedback while you're writing it, which is fine.
I know
some people who, like, if they get any sort of criticism while they're writing the thing, their passion for that project dies. And so it's all about what is best for you as an author.
Yeah. It doesn't literally have to be like you're in the middle of writing it, but it is, these are the people who are going to see it first in its rawest form. And
yes,
you can even do some editing before you show it to first people, right? Like, that's
definitely totally
fine.
Spell check.
I mean, yeah, but that's one of my biggest complaints when I have critique partners. Sometimes they'll get lost in the grammatical weeds, and I'm like, I don't care. Like, yeah, I realize I need a comma there, but I don't really care if I'm going to put a comma there or not if this entire sentence is going away, or this entire chapter, right? So I usually tell people, like, please don't look at grammar at this stage. I tell beta readers that too. I don't know if we're ready to move on to that.
We can move on to beta readers.
Yeah.
So beta readers are typically your readers after alpha readers. And so they're a pair of fresh eyes. They hopefully have not seen anything of the manuscript yet. And so they don't know that Chad is now Brad because Chad and Tim needed to be combined into one character.
Right.
And so they don't have all of the iterations.
Baggage.
They don't have the multiverse that you have created because you rewrote chapter 1 50 times. Apologies to my friends and my sister. They have a clean slate. They're able to give you a fresh perspective. And beta readers are also typically looking for more macro things. Again, we're less focusing on grammar. I mean, if there are some very glaring, like, please, for the love of God, use quotations around dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, if there's
or
some,
like, big repeated things, sure. But
big repeated things, or if there's just, or if that one comma is making it
sure,
so that way you cannot move on. But for the most part, we don't want to be focusing on grammar with beta readers. We want to be focusing on, like, how is pacing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, were you confused? Did this slow down? Because if an alpha reader's read the same chunk in different iterations, they're going to start having crossover.
Yeah.
And so they may not quite know if the pacing is off, because the pacing is better than what it was,
right,
but that doesn't mean it's there yet.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, Yeah. So those are beta readers. And then some people go on to, is Gamma the next?
Yeah, Gamma would be next, yeah.
And so,
I mean, you can have as many readers as you want. I mean, if you want to make money off it, at some point you should publish it instead of just sending it to
critique partners,
Greek letter readers. But yeah, there's no like science or rules you have to follow with this. These are just like general practices and how things often work better for people. Like Miranda said before, you have to do what works for you.
Definitely. And so those are kind of the ones that we want to talk about today. Like, we haven't already been talking about them for the last 5 minutes. But specifically, I wanted to talk about how to be a beta reader and or alpha reader, and also how to receive feedback from them. So because as an author, like, we're a fairly small community, and so chances are that you are either going to be asked to read someone else's work, or maybe you're going to trade, like, hey, if you read my novel, I'll read yours, and we'll give each other some feedback. And it's also a great opportunity to learn and grow. And so, but there are some things that you can do that makes you a little bit better of a feedback giver. And there are some things that you can do to maybe soften the feedback that you get back if you need to. To maybe not take it so personally.
Yeah. So should we talk about giving first?
Sure.
Okay. Well, one of the things we've sort of already touched on, I think the most important thing when you're being a beta reader is to make sure that you know what the author wants from you. So yes. I know some writers who want their beta readers to tell them grammar stuff. It drives me insane, but if that's what they want. So make sure you've established your expectations with your whoever you're trading with, or if you're just doing it for them, that they know that that you know what they want from your feedback. So that, I think, is step one.
Mm-hmm. And as an author, that is really good information too. Make sure you are very clear about what you want out of a beta read. So, like, are you looking for pacing? Are you looking for confusion? Are you looking for grammar? Like, all of this is kind of like two sides of the same coin, which is why we're talking about both. So yeah, so if you're reading from someone else, make sure expectations are very clear, because you don't want to hand them something that's completely marked up with all of the commas and have them go, that is not what I needed.
Right. So. You don't want to do that much work either, right? Like, if they don't want that and you're doing, like, you'll just feel unappreciated. Now, on the author side, you probably should never tell your beta readers, well, you didn't do what I wanted, unless you're trying to help them to help you next time. But
yeah. And so that is one thing, is have very clear expectations. Another thing is try to layer critique and praise.
Yes.
Like, it is not wrong to point out a problem, but also don't be a jerk about it. try to soften it if you can, unless there is something that, I don't know, occasionally there is a hammer that's needed, but it's really not as often as some people think.
Well, I think one of the key things here is, much like in relationship conflict, you want to focus on I statements instead of you statements. So don't be like, you forgot to put Ben in this scene and I don't know where he is. You'd be like, I got confused because I want to know what happened to Ben, right? And because, like, if you're talking about your own emotions or your own confusion, you can't really be wrong. Right.
Yeah, that is definitely a portion of it. And so, yeah, when giving feedback, and understand that there is a person on the other side.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes that's also something that can be lost in the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Is someone is reading this feedback, you know, this is someone's darling. And, you know, the old adage, how would you feel if someone said this to you?
Right.
And there are some of you tough people who are
who
like,
would
I would be fine.
Yeah.
But it isn't always like that.
Well, I liked what you said about layering praise. Now, you can think of that, like, people like to talk about the compliment sandwich or whatever, like in a specific comment, you can definitely do that. But I think you can think beyond that too. Like, don't think, well, here's a problem, I need to figure out something positive I can say about this problem first, then say the problem, then say something positive again. Like, that is a fine thing to do, but also just, like, notice the things that they do well throughout. Like, it doesn't, the positive things don't have to be specifically related to the negative things you're bringing up too. Like, it's just as valuable for an author to know that this made me laugh, assuming that you wanted them to laugh there. But, you know, I really like this character, like, things like that. Because authors, right, especially in this alpha beta stage, like, things can change. And if they don't know that something hit well, or that people really liked some part of it, then they might accidentally change it because they're fixing something else. Right. So pointing out positive things is just as helpful as pointing out negative things.
And this is something that is definitely not like a piece of official advice, but something that I have learned over the years of being alpha beta reader is, I've actually stolen from someone who stole it from someone who stole it from someone, a highlighting system.
Mm.
And so we have a whole bunch of different colors and we assign a meaning to the different colors, because sometimes it gets real tiring just putting yet another smiley face next to something that was amusing.
Right.
And even And then how was it amusing? Was it funny? Did you just like it? Was it sweet? And so one of my main writing partners and I have developed a rubric, essentially. And like we have like green is funny. And then we have shades of green, which indicates how funny.
Nice.
And then we've got like pink is sweet. Like, oh, that was so cute. And so we have like reactions built into the highlights. So that way we could just highlight a whole section and be like, oh, yeah, no, loved all of this.
So is the highlights just positive things, or do you have like one for like I'm confused?
So I think ours is yellow is unclear, or confused, or this sentence was weird. Like we kind of have yellow is off, orange is verify. And so like if there's a piece of information that, you know, like, oh, in 1667, the Declaration of Independence was signed.
Wait a second.
And we'll highlight that orange because verify that.
So will that be like consistency things too? Like you said she had brown hair, but now she has blonde hair. Or like I would think we wouldn't really worry about that at this stage. But
something like brown hair, blonde hair, I think that would go in like a comment of like highlight the brown and then highlight the blonde and then put in a comment, hey, which hair color is it? Or is she sun bleached at this point? And so something like that would probably be an actual comment. I actually ran into that because I changed the color of a girl's pajamas and you wouldn't think that that would be important, but I made it so.
Okay. So, well, there you go.
And then we've got what else? Blue, I think, is kind of passive language, if I remember right. So
thank you for not saying passive voice.
You are welcome. Blue was passive language. And so just kind of like, hey, this could potentially be a little stronger if you wanted it to be. And nothing we have is set in stone. Nothing we have. It's all just like indicators.
Right.
And I love the highlighting system because it really cuts down on you writing a book, explaining their book to them. And you don't have to use a highlighting system. Like, obviously, that's not going to be for everyone. But definitely, if you start to create like a rubric or if you start to create a style, either pass that on to your beta readers or inform the author that you're reading for. Hey, here's what has worked for me in the past. Would you like something like that? And I've had a lot of authors, and I know my writing partner has told other authors, and like we've gotten a small group of people to adopt this highlighting stuff. And so
patent it. Just kidding.
Patent it. Well, we couldn't. It would have to be the original person that was stolen from.
Yeah,
stolen.
Yeah. One last thing, that I wanted to say about being a beta reader. I really like Mary Robinette Kowal has a nice infographic out there that I'll try to find and link in the description, the episode description. And I've actually been an alpha/beta reader for her. She's a little bit interesting because she has beta readers read it as she's doing it, as she's rewriting the story. But her big thing is that she wants to see the emotional reaction. And I think that is pretty key for beta readers and alpha readers, is like, how is this affecting you emotionally? Like, are you bored? Do you not care what's happening right now? Are you interested? Are you flipping
disgusted?
The pages as fast as you can? Yeah, are you disgusted? Are you... One of Mary Robinette Kowal's books that I was beta reading was the strongest emotional reaction I've had to an incident like that made me want... I was reading it on my phone, so I couldn't throw the book across the room. But like in a good way, like something so emotionally ringing happened that I was like, what? And I had to wait because the next chapter wasn't out yet. Anyway, I'm not used to that because usually I just read a finished book. But I thought that was probably useful feedback for me to give her. So I did. Things like that. Emotions are important for beta reading.
Definitely. Again, kind of giving the author a emotional barometer where you're sitting. And I kind of want to hop back to alpha readers just for a sec, because alpha readers, like your job is very, very similar, but you're there to be more of a cheerleader than beta readers, I think.
That's a good point.
Like for alpha readers, you definitely don't want to stifle creativity. You definitely don't want to like put the kibosh on something. And so a lot of alpha reading is going to be more like, I think you're headed in the right direction, or like, I'm confused, but I'm willing to see where you take me.
Yeah.
Kind of things of that nature. I'm not saying never say anything bad, but as an alpha reader, you definitely want to err more on the side of encouragement.
Yeah.
So, because sometimes creativity can be a fickle, fickle thing.
Yes. And so can feedback. One thing, we're running out of time, but I want to make sure we talk about is the aspect of receiving the feedback.
Yes.
I think one of the key things, again, this relates to being a beta reader as well, but it's not always very helpful as a beta reader for you to say, I'm confused. This is what you need to do to fix my confusion. Very often, even alpha readers and beta readers are wrong in their
solution.
Yeah. And so you might read their feedback and think, well, that's wrong. I'm not going to do anything about it. But what's important to remember is that they might be wrong in their solution, but something happened there, right? Something, if they said you need to do this to fix it, something is wrong there. And you need to, as the author, figure out what you meant to do and fix it in a way that makes sense for what your goal was. There are probably five other solutions that they didn't suggest, and you can find the one that works right. So the key thing is to sort of dig down into the feedback and say, well, what's actually going on here? They think I need to do this. I think that's wrong, but am I missing something? Did I not foreshadow something well enough? Did I not give this character enough background so that their motivation makes sense, that sort of thing?
I heard from someone, I can't remember who anymore, but I heard from someone that by the time a reader identifies a problem, the actual start of the problem was probably a few pages back.
Yeah.
So don't necessarily look on the page that the problem was found. That's where they finally noticed it. Definitely go back a little further and see if maybe the problem isn't back there. Again, like you said, either foreshadowing or setup or things of that nature, but definitely go back a little further than you normally would and then read forward and be like, that's why. And so, and then also as someone receiving feedback, like definitely try it, and it's hard. It's very, very hard. To this day, I still get editing notes back and I get that first jolt of less you're wrong and more like, God bless it. I thought I did okay this time.
There's that too. Yeah.
I thought I fixed it. I thought. And so just like take a moment, have your feelings. They're totally valid, but also don't let them get in the way of fixing your work and making it better. Because unless you've grossly misjudged your beta readers that you selected, people want your story to be the best that it can be. Like most people are doing it in very good faith. And so sometimes it's hard and you don't necessarily have to take all of it. Sometimes you do need to take a stand, but it's going to be a little bit of a punch, but ultimately they're trying to make your story better. And so that helps sometimes is knowing, okay, maybe they didn't say it the nicest. Maybe it came across super hard. Maybe they didn't realize that this specific scene was based on a thing that happened in your childhood. And so them crushing on it, beating on it is a little extra, but ultimately they're trying to help you.
Yeah. And something that helps with that, I think, is just like read the feedback and then sit on it for a little while. Like let your mind mull over it. Like don't try to implement anything, even if you liked it. Maybe if you really loved something, you're like, yes, I'm going to fix that right away. But it's always a good idea to sit on feedback for a little bit and let your mind work on it, because you might find a better solution than they proposed, or you might find that you can solve three of these things with one little fix over here. But your brain needs some time to work through it. And that gives you your heart a little bit of time to recover as well.
Yes. Because that is also important. All right. Are we out of time?
We are. I was about to say that, yes.
We always have fun. It's never long enough.
Never long enough. But we can always talk more about it in another episode. For now, question for our listeners is,
have you ever been a beta reader or an alpha reader? And if you do you guys have any tips or tricks that you would like to share with us?
Thank you. Yeah, that'd be great.
Let us know at our socials.
Stay sharp, my friends.
Stay sharp.
To learn more about The Writing Forge, check out our social links in the episode description. Subscribe to The Writing Forge wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to rate and review. For more informational writing content, be sure to become a Writing Heights member.